This is news director Larissa Donovan continuing on with the Meet the Candidates series. Joining me in studio today is a political newcomer as far as I know, but we'll get into that. He is running for Beltrami County Commissioner District 1. Welcome to the studios, Mark Morrissey.
Thanks for having me in today. I really appreciate the time.
Well, it's interesting seeing you in this setting because usually when I see you, you're on a sailboat.
Steering a dragon boat.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, so what brought you to this race?
Let me think. I think local politics has interested me for a long time. I've helped with a lot of campaigns, and I've tried to assist other people with their campaigning. A good friend of mine, Frank Moe, he passed away last year, and I worked a lot with him on his campaign. And so it's always been something I've paid a lot of attention to, and I think local issues this year in particular, I just felt like I think I'm going to get on the ballot.
All right, so there was a recent redistricting. Did that change where you were at contending the decision?
No, it's my home base. I mean, that's right on Turtle River, so I'm just dead center in that district, and it's been really beautiful visiting. As I drive around, I realize, man, there's some really beautiful farms and lakes up here, so it's been great to meet people and drive around the district and just see how amazing it is. So all the way down from, you know, Cass Lake, Pennington, up to Black Duck, yeah.
So for those who may not be familiar with you and who you are, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, my name is Mark Morrissey. I've been at BSU for about 20 years. I got two boys. I live up in Turtle River with my wife and our two kids and our big garden, and we just love living up here. We came up here for college and just decided to make Bemidji our home. So actually, we're Turtle River citizens up there, and we love everything about living up here. Our kids can kind of roam the woods and go skiing and make forts and things like that. And so we just love that we're in this place that people drive hours and hours to vacation. I think about that every Memorial Day. So I go down towards the cities and people are just lined up with their trucks and trailers to come up here to see, you know, to see the parks and all the things we have up here.
Right. So the county board government, it used to be kind of boring. County board, yeah.
Used to be a little boring. And I feel like we've had a few more headlines than we need. And I think I'd like to make county politics a little bit more boring again. You know, mow ditches and fund libraries and that type of thing.
Judicial ditches.
Oh, yeah.
That's a hot one.
Yeah.
I actually wrote a song about judicial ditches to the tune of Rainy Day Women, number 12 and 35. We'll get into that later. But what are some of the issues you've been hearing about? What are some of the issues that have caught your attention?
It's very interesting. People, the issue about funding for our library system was really important. So our county contributes to the Kitchigami Regional Library System. And so with potential cuts, that got a lot of attention. And a lot of people from Black Duck came to attend meetings to just kind of hear about, like, how is this decision made? It felt like it was made abruptly. And they just felt like if these cuts result in losing services. And I visited their little library up in Black Duck, and I was amazed all the things they do. Like, they check out Wi-Fi hotspots, and they had a little food shelf going, and they do like history lectures and things like that. So I thought, well, a tiny library in Black Duck, what could be, you know, how many books do they have, really? But I realized that they have this interlibrary loan. They do all these amazing things at this time. Like, they're very creative up there in Black Duck, and they make all this great stuff happen with this little facility like that. I was really amazed by that. So I thought, this is an essential service. So I think when we think in terms of scale, we've got these things that are really important services, all the way from a county jail to a little tiny Black Duck library. And it's easy to let large items kind of elbow little ones out of the room. But I think it's incredibly important to pay just close attention to these smaller services than to the big projects.
Now, the Kitchigami Regional Library System includes multiple counties and cities within the system.
Correct.
And I found it very interesting that, you know, of all, like, there are 14 members on this board of the Kitchigami, all elected officials. So I thought it was pretty interesting to learn more about that. Would you hope to be appointed to the Kitchigami board if elected?
Yeah, the issues kind of grabbed my attention, and I think that would be a great role to serve. It's a really essential thing. Like, when it's funny, like, we talk about jails and libraries, and it's like, you know, even libraries are things that jails have. You know, it's like an essential democratic thing, is that people have access to information, they have access to network, that they can communicate. You know, make their resumes, search for jobs, that type of thing. There's services where when people come out of incarceration, one of the first places they might go is a jail to get some help getting organized with things that they need.
Right. And you mentioned the jail. A big decision is coming. Perhaps some of the big decisions may not happen to the next slate of commissioners. But undoubtedly, some decisions will need to be made by the new slate.
Mm-hmm.
If elected, what are some of your ideas about what do we need for our jail?
There, you know, this is a tough one. The jail is like 35 years old. It's out of compliance. It's not large enough. It's not secure enough. And so we need a new facility, no question about it. And then the consultation we've had is to find out how, like, what's the, you know, you're basically forecasting a number of inmates for the year 2035 or something like that, which is anybody's guess, but I think they're making a good informed guess that there will be some growth in the incarcerated population. That's a little tough to accept sometimes because you say, yeah.
You know, there might also be growth in the general population as well.
Right. So, you know, I think a lot of decisions are sort of based around that number. And so if, you know, if we accept that those numbers are a good forecast, I know there's, you know, folks that believe like, well, you know, why will we need to incarcerate so many people and things like that? There's some factors we control and there's some that we don't. In any case, we'll need to have a new facility, but we need to kind of explore every avenue for like what type of partnership for funding, are there federal grants available, what will operational costs be. I think there's a few more unknowns that we need to explore down before it's just like a green light to go forward. We also don't want to get stuck in a situation where we kick the can down the road and find ourselves out of compliance and now abruptly we need to like start funding, just get the lending going and start the project without a proper plan. So I've got a lot of faith in like our the county employees and the sheriff's department. The views they've expressed are both the candidates and our sheriff have expressed that we want to have a place where we reduce recidivism, right? So it's like the idea is to not just get people off the street, but to make sure that they don't get back in the criminal justice system. And so hearing about this, I think, you know, we could develop a model that is better, right? So like people that can have access to, counseling and drug and alcohol treatment, things like that in the facility that we can't do now, right? So having a better model would be one good outcome, but just in general, you know, talking about funding a jail is not a feel-good project. You know, it's a little bit
tough. Nobody likes it.
Yeah, nobody is, it doesn't really, make their day. But I think handling this properly is extremely important and we need to get partners to fund this thing. To get like a good rate for the lending and so forth, so that we don't burden our Beltrami County taxpayers, for the next 20, 30 years with a project that's the wrong size. Yeah. So
Beltrami County has had a reputation for being a model in certain areas. For instance, no more mm-hmm. smoking inside yeah. restaurants and bars. Mm-hmm. They also were one of the leaders in the 21 plus tobacco law.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Beltrami County has also garnered some attention after the refugee resettlement vote that took place January 2020.
Indeed.
I think it was.
Yep. There's a few issues that went before the board that I didn't feel that were handled properly. These were, these have included, on Second Amendment sanctuary, on refugee that vote about making, having a refugee resettlement. And the COVID, like those three issues to me, I felt like these are pressing their way into the county board and they're really not resolved there. That's not, we're not a court. And so we're not going to make these decisions about Second Amendment, right? If the state of Minnesota makes changes to like how that's enforced in Minnesota, counties will abide by those decisions. So it's not wise for us to kind of pretend we're some free Republic of Beltrami up here, kind of doing our own thing on COVID or Second Amendment, things like that, to say that we, our sheriff wouldn't enforce the laws that the state passes, right? We will abide by the laws that pass in the state of Minnesota and the federal laws, and that's what we ask our sheriff to do, obviously, right? So if gun laws became more lax and we became like Wyoming, say the Supreme Court made some decision, we'd abide by those. And if it was more restrictive and you couldn't get, more than 10 rounds in a magazine or something, we'd abide by those. So I think it's just a very strange symbolic statement. The issues aren't resolved in that boardroom. And regarding refugees, Minnesota's had this long tradition of being a welcoming place where people can come. And I thought, again, that was a very symbolic thing. It wasn't, the issue wasn't decided there. It was just like making this sort of strange symbolic stand. I think it was sort of, the decision was kind of whipped up by a lot of emotions and misinformation about it. So I think to slow it down, to make informed decision making, to kind of like have an expert in and explain like what's the potential? Like, are we actually talking about people coming here that we wouldn't have funds for rather than just dealing with, angry people come in and we make a snap decision. I don't, the way that vote was presided over. That was one of my issues that brought me into the race.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting you bring up like the county's jurisdiction and mm-hmm. where it right. stands compared to state law. Now, the state mandates counties to do a lot of different stuff, but it often doesn't have the money funding, to back yeah. it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's correct.
So what are some ideas like? How do we move forward from this? Can we make our county whole? We have such a small, compared to a lot of counties in our state, we have a small, very small tax base.
It's a very small tax base. 70% of our land is untaxed. We provide a lot of services and amenities to people who vacation here. When we take people in custody in our jail, 40% of those are from outside the county. Right? So what this means is we really need to get better partnership with the state of Minnesota. Look at these, like the local government aid, look at the payment in lieu of taxes, these funding equations that go kind of all the way back to the Pawlenty administration, right? Like, so those formulas were shifted. And so we're burdened with more of that here. I think we need a real strong lobbying effort, honestly. It's like we need to get before the legislature, get with those allies in there to just say this, like, look at all these services we provide with this very small tax base. When people ask me, like, if I'm fiscally conservative, it's like, yeah, because we are by necessity, right? So we have to be really frugal and careful with our funding up here, make really good decisions, make good value decisions, and just kind of plan for the future as we go forward. But we've got to be a better, we have to have a really strong communication channel with the state.
All right. Well, are there any other issues that you've been hearing on your campaign trail from potential constituents?
You know, it's funny. I had this little pet topic in my mind, but people really feel it. And this is like both sides of the political spectrum. They feel like, let's turn the temperature down in the county boardroom, in the school boardroom, like the
make it
the
boring boards, again,
make it a little bit dull again, kind of turn the temperature down, get back to dialogue, kind of like slow down the emotions a little bit. So I think my approach is just to be really fair, to be approachable, and to be responsive to concerns of our constituents. Right.
All right. Anything else about you or your campaign you wanted to get out there before I let you go today, Mark?
We talked about a lot of these things.
Yeah, we did the laundry list in like record time. My goodness.
I think we're good. I think we've kind of covered. I was just looking at this, and I think we covered a lot of it.
All right. Well, fantastic. Go ahead.
I did think of one other thing, right? There's like one of my campaign themes is to really, like, we have this really beautiful place, and we want to pass it on to the next generation of kids and young families and people who come here to live, to bring their businesses and families here. And so I'm really really strong advocate of protection for, like, our, you know, freshwater resources and our forest management. We've got great professional staff working on this. They've got great long-term plans. So I really want to support the effort of our, you know, land department, and our health department. To just I've really gotten to know a lot of people, and their skills are amazing, and I think their priorities are in the right place. So we just want to preserve what we have to hand down to the next generation.
All right. Well, very well said. Thank you, Mark, for joining me today. Mark Morrissey, candidate for Beltrami County, District 1.